athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Welcome to the first show of 2025 here on Box to Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. Happy New Year to you and yours. How did you bring in the new year? It was once upon a time, and really, you know, I've never been really one to really get out, do a lot of partying, etc. So I can't really say that on any particular New Year's within the previous, to the last maybe 20, 25 years, I really was out there doing a bunch of partying and stuff like that. But one of the things we did at our home, of course, we brought in the New Year, a little bit of, you know, whatever the drink was, and we had, with my children, my wife, so forth. It was good to be with them, certainly on New Year's. But like a couple of hours prior to that, at 10 o'clock, I was on the grill. Okay, not the grill, but the smoker. I was on the smoker getting together the pork butt, smoking the pork butt, so we could have a fantastic meal on New Year's Day. And I'm going to tell you what, we had just that. We had a fantastic meal on New Year's Day. As a matter of fact, I was watching that Boise State and Penn State game, and every now and again I would go out and check on the smoker. You want to have the pork butt, you know, somewhere around the 250 or so degree range. I mean, sometimes, because it's cold, even though we're in Raleigh, it's chilly. It wasn't really chilly. It actually wasn't chilly that night. It was actually decent, although right around, you know, after midnight, it got a little bit chillier. I would say it was probably in the 40s or so. But you want to make sure that temperature's right. Yeah, it's right. It's going to fluctuate a little bit. Sometimes it's going to be up. Sometimes it's going to be below the 225 that I like to stay at. And then, of course, you got to be up all night with it. We had some assistance, got the kids involved with it as well. So, you know, I probably went to sleep for about 3.5 hours, and that's all the amount of sleep that I got during that time of smoking the pork butt. And right after that, put some wings on the grill to smoke some wings as well. So we had a it was a good lead up to the new year, a good New Year's. Got to watch some college football, which I don't typically get to watch a whole lot. Then got to eat a fantastic meal: black-eyed peas, collard greens. Of course, we had the pork butt, which of course is barbecue, you know, shredded. You shred it up, it's barbecue now. Had the smoked wings, and then also had the cornbread to go with some lemonade from a branded store. People in North Carolina would know this store, and not going to give the name of the store, but you know, you talk about some of the best lemonade around. It's not that drink lemonade. Like some lemonades are, it's more drink than it is true lemonade. And this lemonade is absolutely fantastic. So had a wonderful lead up to the new year, wonderful New Year's Day. And hey, we're back at it. Of course, the previous couple of weeks, hope you enjoyed the 2024 year-end review shows. We had a chance to listen back to some of the great conversations that we had with great guests. If you missed either of those shows or any of our shows from 2024, you can visit BoxToRow.com and listen to any of those podcasts, or listen to Box to Row and to our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. So again, some good college football. We're going to talk some college football today here on the program. We're going to talk some National Football League today here also on Box to Row. And joining us also today here on Box to Row, Brandon Codrington. He's really gotten it done in the return game for the Buffalo Bills. He's a rookie, played 4 years for North Carolina Central, an undrafted free agent. And we talked about this ad nauseum in terms of the players that don't get drafted into the National Football League that end up signing free agent deals. Well, Brandon Codrington was one of those guys, but not only that, he's done well. I mean, he's averaging close to, 12 yards per punt return when the NFL averages 8. I forget he's averaging maybe like 27 yards per kickoff return, something like that. He's having a good rookie season for the Buffalo Bills. He's going to join us today here on the program. As I mentioned, I want to talk some college football playoff. I want to talk some National Football League on the program today as well. And we have quite a few HBCU. We had some vacancies, and now a majority of those vacancies have been filled. I thought that the vacancy at Shaw with bringing Gregory Ruffin back as the head football coach, I thought that was going to be an interesting move for Shaw. He declined coming to be the new head football coach at Shaw, citing some health concerns. So I want to talk about some of those hires as well. Look, you can participate here on Box to Row. Hit me up via X at Box to Row, BOXTOROW. Also on Facebook, BOX2ROW. You can also hit us up on Instagram at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, as well as on TikTok. Let's start there, because I think for me, okay, and there, I like most of the hirings, okay, with respect to the coaching vacancies in HBCU football. I like most of the hires. I got to tell you, for me, the home run hire was Mike Vick to Norfolk State. Now, I'll talk about DeSean Jackson to Delaware State and some of the other hires as well, because there were some good ones. But to me, that's the home run hire, right? Like, we're in a phase of really, I would say, more so HBCU football. And I'll talk a little bit more about Delaware State situation. And as I mentioned, and the hiring of DeSean Jackson. But we're in a situation where we are seeing a lot of HBCUs go out and hire big names or hire former NFL guys. We saw it and it worked out well with Deion Sanders at Jackson State. Worked out really, really well for Jackson State and for Coach Sanders, who's now at Colorado and doing some really good things there. I had certainly my issues in terms of some of the things that Coach Sanders, you know, had to say as it relates to HBCUs during his time at Jackson State. That said, he cared about the players. He had a successful program. He's parlayed that to the head coach at Colorado, has had success there as well, and he's about the players, so I really, really appreciate that. Getting back to Michael Vick, this is a home run hire, I think, for a couple of reasons. And one of the things we're also seeing is coaches that don't have necessarily coaching experience. But this is the thing. You can bring in a guy, because I feel like Norfolk State should be a place where you can win football games. Now, it just hasn't, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. You know, even you think about Dawson Odoms and the success that he had at Southern, it just didn't work out, you know, at Norfolk State. Latrell Scott, a successful coach, he's now, I believe, with ECU as the running backs coach or an assistant coach, football coach, just didn't work out for Latrell Scott at Norfolk State. Now, Norfolk State has the support. I don't know that it has. It doesn't have the support of some of the other schools, but it has fan support, alumni support. Think about this. Norfolk State has the largest on-campus stadium in all of FCS football. The largest on-campus stadium in all of FCS football. It hadn't really packed it out, although the homecoming for Norfolk State this year, there were a lot of fans at that game, a lot of fans at the Labor Day Classic as well. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out for Norfolk State. Well, now you bring in a guy like a Mike Vick. Okay, Mike Vick's got a name. But this is the other thing. He's a native of the area. He's a Hampton Roads guy. So now you bring in a Hampton Roads guy with the cachet that Mike Vick has. He's quiet. He doesn't come off as a rah-rah guy. I watched his interview at the press conference. He's a man of few words, but I think he's going to come in. He's going to get the right coaching staff in place. And this is the thing about it. And this is what I like at Norfolk State. Norfolk State, you talk about these NIL deals and these collectives and so forth. To me, Norfolk State did it as well as any other HBCU in terms of establishing the collective and the NIL. So now that you have the coach with the name that's in, like, the infrastructure's got to be in place before you can just go out and make a hire like a Mike Vick. And I feel like Norfolk State had the infrastructure in place, especially with the NIL. So now you're going to have a lot of people that are going to donate because it's Mike Vick, and now you're going to be able to get an upgrade, I think, in players. Plus, you're in Norfolk. You're in the Tidewater area. When we think about recruiting in high school, you think about Texas. You think about Florida, right? You think about some of these other places, and we sleep. I don't, but we sleep, I think, when you're talking about high school recruiting on that 757. That 757 is serious business when it comes to really good football players in the Tidewater area. So now you add a Michael Vick to that? Man, that's a home run. That is a big time hit, a home run for Norfolk State in getting Mike Vick. Now, a little bit later on, I'm going to talk about some of the other hires as well. We've got a lot to get to today here on Box to Row. As I mentioned, return specialist for the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Codrington, going to join us on the program, and so much more. Keep it locked. The first edition of Box to Row in 2025 rolls on.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the game of the week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row
and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
Still to come here on Box to Row, Buffalo Bills return specialist, rookie Brandon Codrington. Played his collegiate football at North Carolina Central. Still to come here on the program. In the last segment, was talking about specifically Mike Vick being hired as the new head football coach at Norfolk State, and sort of the transition into where we are. Not every HBCU, but a lot of guys are getting their starts at HBCU now. Deion Sanders had some previous coaching experience before becoming the head football coach at Jackson State. Mike Vick, not so much. DeSean Jackson, not a lot. He was the offensive coordinator at Woodrow Wilson Classical High School in Long Beach. I'm not familiar with how much of the coaching experience that he has had. So that's sort of where we are in terms of a lot of these coaches being hired. And so let me look at some of the other moves that have been made in terms of coaches being hired. I thought one of the better moves also definitely was Sam Shade to Alabama A&M. Sam Shade was the head football coach at Miles for three seasons. And we had Sam Shade on the program right before the SIAC championship game back in November. And I think Sam Shade did an absolutely tremendous job at Miles. A rough 2022 season where the Golden Bears went 1-9, but then really turned things around to the SIAC championship this past season. And so now he's a guy that goes to Alabama A&M, where Connell Maynard was the head coach there, and trying to get that program back on the right track. The thing about, and of course, remember Sam Shade, and also was previously an NFL player. Now, he didn't have the name of a Mike Vick or, you know, DeSean Jackson, but I would also say that with respect to Sam Shade had been in coaching for about 8 or 9 years with various coaching experiences from college, high school, even in the National Football League before he became the head football coach at Miles, and now is the head football coach at Alabama A&M. And so that's interesting, and I think that's a really, really good move for Alabama A&M. Also, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you one of the more underrated hirings. And, you know, certainly Sean Gibbs at A&T, I think, is going to bode well for A&T. But Tremaine Jackson at Prairie View A&M, I think, is one of those hires that a lot of people may not even know who Tremaine Jackson is. Well, Tremaine Jackson was the head football coach at Valdosta State. And Valdosta State's one of the preeminent programs in Division II, a perennial power, always in that national championship type of mix, whether it's the semi. I think, remember, this year, Valdosta State defeated Virginia Union in the quarterfinals of the Division II playoffs. I'm not exactly sure where Valdosta State ended up finishing, but always in the mix, had a good run at Valdosta State. Prairie View A&M hires him as the head football coach. Now, you may wonder and say, okay, what's the, you know, what is the background of a Tremaine Jackson? Well, he really is a Texas Southern alum. His first couple of years in college football as a player, as a student athlete, he was at Texas Southern. So he knows the SWAC. He has been a member of the coaching staff also at Texas Southern as well. And so now he comes back to the SWAC. He comes to Prairie View A&M. I tell you what, I mean, again, for me, I didn't necessarily like the firing of the former head football coach at Prairie View A&M. Like, I didn't like it at all. But I say, okay, well, who are you going to get somebody better? You know, I thought, you know, especially the first couple of years, I thought Bubba McDowell did a pretty good job. But this Tremaine Jackson hiring, and maybe that's something, and again, remember I talked about this when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's like, okay, if you're letting a guy go, who do you have? You, and especially in that scenario, and there's some other scenarios certainly as well across college football in terms of letting coaches go. But I think this is a good hire because Tremaine Jackson had success at Valdosta State, and he's familiar with the SWAC, familiar specifically with that area now that he comes back to that Houston area as well. So I thought that was a really good hire as well. DeSean Jackson to Delaware State. You know, I think this, it's interesting because in reading a piece on HBCUsports.com, it was mentioned that per sources that Delaware State wanted to have a big name. So Dr. Alvin Parker was in the mix at Delaware State, and the way that the piece on HBCUsports.com read was that Dr. Alvin Parker was in the mix as maybe a front runner, but Delaware State wanted a big name. And so, you know, it's fine. Like, I get it. You know, you get a guy like a DeSean Jackson. He's, you know, again, DeSean Jackson played for the Eagles, so Delaware State is in sort of that Philadelphia area. So it's not, you know, it's fine, right? But, you know, I just hope it doesn't take away from other coaches getting opportunities. I mean, you know, Alvin Parker's done a phenomenal job at Virginia Union, leading the Panthers all the way to the quarterfinals of the Division II playoffs. But not only that, that was just this year. You look at all the years. I mean, they had 8-2 seasons where the Panthers didn't even make it to the CIAA championship game, have won the championship, the Panthers, the CIAA championship in back-to-back years. So you look at it from that vantage point, Dr. Parker didn't get an opportunity that he very much deserved, and that's fine. Look, I get it. You know, a lot of these schools, you know, it's going to bring in money to a Norfolk State to have a Mike Vick. It's going to bring in money, interest, et cetera, to Delaware State to have a guy like a DeSean Jackson, and that's probably what Delaware State was going for because this is a Delaware State program that has struggled. I mean, struggled and struggled and struggled, which was at one time going back to the 80s in the early part of the 90s was a pretty good program. And so, you know, you bring a DeSean Jackson in, you know, we'll see. Again, I mentioned the fact that he had the previous the coaching experience was as an offensive coordinator at Woodrow Wilson Classic High School in Long Beach as an offensive coordinator. So we'll see. But again, get in, lay a foundation, get a coaching staff in place, get some recruits in place, and we'll see what happens at Delaware State. But that's a tough ask. I mean, that's a tough ask to win at Delaware State, who has been down for so many years. Last time Delaware State won a MEAC championship, you have to go back to Al Levan maybe, was that 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. And so we'll see what happens, of course, with DeSean Jackson as the head football coach at Delaware State. Let's continue here on the program. We're joined by a young man who's a rookie in the National Football League with the Buffalo Bills. Has done really, really well. The Bills are playing some outstanding football, have a Sunday game against the Patriots. The Bills have won 10 of their last 11 games, and the young man in the kick return game has been very, very good. Brandon Codrington, of course, played his collegiate football at North Carolina Central, was a HBCU All-American, joins us here on the program. Happy New Year to you, Brandon. Welcome to the program.
Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. Hope all is well.
Everything is well, man. It seems like one of those situations, you sort of picked up where you left off at North Carolina Central. I mean, look, you come into the league, right now you're averaging almost 12 yards per punt return, which is really, really good considering the average is around 8 yards per return. Your thoughts on really how not only you've played so far, but how you've made the adjustment to the National Football League?
Yeah, you know, it's just – I don't really want to give a testament to my coaches, you know. Might sound kind of cliche, but just them staying on me in a sense, not letting me or allowing me to get too comfortable, you know, allowing me to also be free, similar to how I was in college. But also just staying on me, making sure I'm paying attention to the details. You know, the wind is a little different here, so just making sure, you know, my eyes, my feet are right. And just stay in the film room, and that's a testament to them and then my blockers, of course.
I mean, but now in your opening game, like, I've seen you've only had 9 opportunities to return kickoffs. I mean, because obviously with all the rule changes, most guys were kicking the ball into the end zone anyway. Your opening game, you returned the kickoff 53 yards. Like, that's really, really good. Tell us about that and what you saw there. And again, this is your very first game in the National Football League.
Yeah. You know, all week there was kind of on me about not being nervous, you know, HBCUs, you know, the stadium's kind of smaller, atmosphere kind of smaller, but I kind of did it the same, just like college. But yeah, like you say, it opened up for me, you know, if I remember correctly, I kind of stemmed to my left and then they overplayed it and it just opened up to my right. And it was crazy for the first one to open up like that. And it was definitely felt good.
Yeah, no, very cool. How was practice today? Like, we haven't had someone to come right off the field. Seems like you didn't come right off the field to join us, which is very, very, we're very appreciative. But how you know, speak to the preparation for this upcoming game against the Patriots. That was a very close game, one in which the Bills won by 3 points just a couple of weeks ago.
Definitely. You know, our motto is being the most prepared in the NFL, you know, whether it's as a team or individually also. So, like you said, just got to practice. But, yeah, looking forward to this game. You know, we're just worried about us, not really too focused on what they have going on. Of course, you want a game plan for them, but at the end of the day, it's about us. And we're just making sure we can control what we control. We're locked into the details, and we should go out there and execute.
We're talking with Buffalo Bills rookie Brandon Codrington here on Box to Row. More with Brandon after this small pause for the cause.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That's something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan. And cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
I'm from Houston, grew up in Germany, When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle at Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. Was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it, and I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people, and I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Brandon Codrington, he's a rookie in the National Football League. He's a return specialist, really, for the Buffalo Bills as he joins us here on the program. You know, what's interesting to me in college, and really in college, man, like if you're a punt returner, you're not necessarily a kickoff returner and vice versa. And I would, and certainly that's the same way in the National Football League, probably amplified a little bit. Can you speak to the difference? Obviously, there's a difference between a punt return and a kick return, but there's the setup and all these things. Can you speak to really the differences between the two?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that punt return is more so, it's not something you can coach, being a punt returner. It's really an instinct and a feeling. And I would say kick return is kind of a setup. I mean, it still comes with instinct as a returner, a kick returner, but it's more so a direct return. You know, it's where the blocker is going to be set up, where you're supposed to hit, where you're not supposed to hit at. And yeah, so that's, I would say that's really the difference is the job description between the both. But yeah, so punt return is more so just free range. You know, of course there's a direction sometimes, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's mostly based off of how you feel and how you react to everything.
Yeah, and I got a chance to see you all of your years at North Carolina Central. That said, if I remember correctly, you were primarily a punt returner, had that big punt return in the Miak Swag Challenge against Alcorn State. Which one do you like better, punt return or kick returner?
I would say punt return, definitely. I mean, I love the both. I love both of them. But if I had to pick a favorite, though, I would definitely say probably punt return.
Brandon,
like I spoke on before, it's just you get more free range at punt return, and I like to just cut off what I see, not think too much, and just react.
Yeah, what can you let me ask you this question, because normally when you've got the gunner on one side coming down to try to get you, punt returners make the, either that guy misses or you make him miss every time. It seemed like he's more of a guy that, I don't know, speak to making sort of that guy miss. I mean, I haven't, you know, you seem to make that guy miss every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's kind of an instinct. I mean, I like to not let him think that I see him. You know, I like to keep my eyes up the whole time, but really I'm peripheral him and seeing the ball. So I would say it's more so, like I spoke on about, a feeling thing. That's what it is, honestly. Like to just set him up with him, move my body language, let him think I don't see him, but in reality, I see him.
Brandon Codrington, of course, of the Buffalo Bills, joins us here on the program for a couple of more moments. Man, the Bills saw something in you because you went as an undrafted free agent. Let me take it right there before I even talk about that. Yeah. You have a chip on your shoulder. Were you disappointed in not being drafted into the National Football League this past draft?
Definitely. I would say I've had a chip on my shoulder since I got into college. Led the state in returns my senior year. Didn't have any offers. Walked on to Central. And, yeah, so I was All-American like 3 out of my 4 years at Central. So, you know, I was definitely expecting to, if not drafted, definitely signed right after the draft. You know, I came in, mini camp invite with the Jets. Then was blessed enough to get signed down there at mini camp. But, yeah, definitely had a chip on my shoulder. And, yeah, definitely.
And you did so well with the Jets, well enough that I don't know what the deal – maybe the Jets had – maybe they didn't have enough room for you. I don't know. But the Bills traded for you. That speaks to something, especially that you didn't get drafted. Showed that they saw something in you. You know, sort of speak to that. I guess you're assuming you would have stuck with the Jets, particularly that you had a really good preseason.
Yeah, so like you said, I got traded. Honestly, didn't know what was going to happen. You know, it was right before the deadline, so I didn't know if I was still waiting for that call to figure out if I was getting drafted. I mean, I'm sorry, not drafted. If I was getting signed to the 53 practice squad, getting cut, getting released. So yeah, it was definitely shocking to me when I got that call from the GM telling me that I was getting traded. But it was definitely a blessing, though. You know, the situation I'm in is awesome. It's terrific. Love the guys here. Yeah, it's everything I could ask for.
A guy like you, being, of course, we're located in Raleigh, being from Raleigh, having played a little bit up the road at North Carolina Central for all 4 of your years, now you're up north in Buffalo with Buffalo Mafia. What is Buffalo? I know you've never seen anything, I'm sure, like Bills, or not Buffalo, Bills Mafia. What's Bills Mafia like?
Yeah, Bills Mafia is crazy, but crazy in an awesome way. You know, I'd say it's definitely more family oriented. They take you in. Right when I got here, you know, I got flooded with messages from all the fans, you know, telling me how excited they were, looking forward to me, you know, throughout the season. But, you know, I would say from every game I've been to and watching the NFL growing up, we definitely have the best fan base in the NFL. And from the away games, they make the away games feel like home games. And it's crazy. You know, you go to an away game and 2/3 of the stadium is Bills fans. And it's crazy. But they're awesome.
Yeah. Have you gotten, I mean, what's driving like up there, right? Like, you're not, we're not used to snow down here like that. Like, Buffalo's a different situation. Have you gotten stuck? What's driving like up there?
Yeah, so I had to get snow tires. I never knew that it was a thing called snow tires. But, yeah, I had to get those when I got down here. And, yeah, it's actually snowing right now a little bit. It probably snows, like, if not, probably once every week at the minimum. I know this week it says, like, supposed to be, like, three or four days out the week it's going to be snow. But it was definitely a rude awakening when it first hit. I remember, I think, a couple weeks ago, I went to sleep. It was no snow. I woke up. It was, like, 2 feet of snow on the ground. So it's definitely different. You know, down being in Raleigh, we probably haven't seen real snow in, like, 5-6 years. So, yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah, your thoughts on the upcoming opponent, the Patriots?
Yeah, you know, every team is, I mean, regardless of the record, you know, any team can win on Sunday. You know, it's every game on Sunday. So, you know, we're treating them as if we were playing a team who's undefeated, you know. It's no difference in the game plan, no difference in the intensity in practice. And, you know, we're just trying to go out here and make plays and execute. You know, control we control and go down here and try to get the win.
Yeah. And then playing with Josh Allen. And then you're getting some snaps on the defensive side of the football. I think what we remember about you, or what I remember most about you at North Carolina Central, is the punt return game in particular. But you were a pretty good corner. I believe it was corner specifically, defensive back, but corner. And you're getting some snaps at corner in the league with the Bills.
Yeah, I am. I am. Kind of expect to be out there a little bit this week also. But, you know, yeah, definitely. I know you spoke with Josh Allen.
Yeah, going up against him and then you getting your snaps too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Josh Allen is a great guy. You know, coming in, you know, you would think that players of his caliber would be kind of not stuck up, but, you know, to themselves, and great guy all around, you know, humble, and then a dog on the field. So he acts completely different from on the field to off the field. You wouldn't even know he was the dog he is off the field, the way he acts off the field. But, you know, going against him every day in practice, you know, scout team look at DB also going against him, you know, I feel like definitely prepares us for the game, prepares me for the game, you know, because that's probably one of the best looks you're going to see. So, definitely. But it's definitely a good look. And I'm looking forward to, you know, being out there at DB as well.
No doubt. Last thought, and I couldn't believe you said it, and I couldn't believe when I read it. I guess I didn't realize it. You are a walk-on at North Carolina Central, which is absolutely unbelievable, because you had it pretty much an immediate impact with the Eagles, building that program to, of course, winning that MEAC and HBCU National Championship in 2022. What do you remember most about those days at North Carolina Central?
Oh, I would say, the thing I remember the most is probably the homecomings.
Right.
You know, the homecoming games, you know, the after the game, everybody's in the Greek Bowl. I don't know if you know, you're familiar with the Greek Bowl, but we have a Greek Bowl on campus where all the fraternities, sororities hang out at. So everybody on campus is there, all the alumni and everything. But also the brotherhoods, you know, I feel like that was why we were so good, which is another reason why I feel like we're a great team here, is because everybody's close with one another. You know, it's no like separate friend groups, or little cliques here, like how it was at Central. It's all love between everybody. And definitely was a walk on like you mentioned. And I've had that chip on my shoulder ever since, honestly.
And then I remember 19 and 21, A&T got Central, but then 22 and 23, Central got A&T. I mean, those had to be. Did you put in work against A&T? I can't quite remember. It seemed like you may have.
I forgot to mention that as well. That was probably one of the biggest memories also. Definitely the classic games between us and A&T. Knowing that they got the better of us my first 2 years at Central. And when I mean they got the better, we got blew out. So it was definitely a good feeling to be able to beat them. I think my junior, we played them in the Panther Stadium in the classic game.
Yep.
And we were able to beat them in there, and then we blew them out my senior, which I didn't play in that game. I was dealing like with a little ankle sprain or whatever. But yeah, I didn't play in that game. But it was definitely a great memory being able to beat them after all the years of hearing about how we got did by them and how embarrassed we got. So it was definitely a good feeling to be able to turn the tables.
No doubt about it. Brandon Codrington, again, a rookie in the National Football League with the Bills, return specialist, defensive back, also joining us here on the program as the Bills are going to be on the road against the Patriots on Sunday. Brandon, really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Bills.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
There you have it. Brandon Codrington of the Buffalo Bills joining us here on the program. Yes. If you remember going back to 2021, the MEAC SWAC Challenge, that 77-yard punt return for a touchdown really is what tipped the scales for the Eagles in that game. And I tell you what, he was a really, really good player for the Eagles. You can react to anything Brandon Codrington had to say. Hit us up via X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Also on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. We've got more of Box to Row. Keep it locked.
This is Michael Vick.
Vick under center, takes the snap. Play action, stands in the end zone, puts out to the goal line. Lawson deep down the right sideline for Jackson, and it's caught. Vick takes the snap, looking to run up the middle, gets to the end zone, dives in, touchdown.
And you're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
We're back here on Box to Row. In the last segment, we were joined by Brandon Codrington, return specialist and defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, played his collegiate ball at North Carolina Central. I want to talk about a couple of games. I want to talk about that Notre Dame and Alabama game in the Sugar Bowl. Our thoughts and prayers, first and foremost, are with those in the families and the loved ones of those affected by the senseless violence that took place in New Orleans on New Year's Day. And, you know, just senseless violence. I just don't know what more to say other than thoughts and prayers with those that were killed and those that were injured in that senseless act. The Super Bowl is about a month away, a little more now than a month away. And so again, thoughts and prayers with those affected in New Orleans. So that Sugar Bowl game, I watched it from start to finish. I gotta tell you, I think if you look at the bigger in the grand scheme of things, especially when you look at Georgia was getting ready, looked like Georgia was getting ready to score, had that deep bomb. And then remember, the official ran into Parker Jones, who wasn't even, he was in uniform, but he just had the jersey on. And so that was a 15-yard penalty. And that was critical because of this. Georgia was the Georgia offense was dominated for the most part. Okay, yes, if you look at the numbers, Georgia passed for 234 yards in the football game. But they harassed the freshman quarterback, meaning the Fighting Irish, and there was virtually no running game. There was virtually no running game for Georgia in this football game. So you got to give certainly Notre Dame a lot of credit, but I think that particular incident, because had Georgia scored, it was a little bit of momentum. And this is the thing. I look at this. This is the thing about that situation, because you've got Stockton in as the quarterback. No Carson Beck. His first significant game. So you could see that when he first started the game, it wasn't going well for Georgia. Then the next possession, and then it started to get better. So now we're talking about second quarter. He throws the deep bomb, gets the completion. Georgia was down inside the 20, if I'm not mistaken, but the penalty pushed Georgia back. And so what could have been a touchdown now falls to be a field goal. And I do think that that was big in the game. But look, I mean, I feel bad for Parker Jones. You know, X was not kind to him at all. He, you know, there was no malice, no intent there. He made a mistake. Even you've got to get what they call the get back coaches. That's how a lot of these coaches get started in the business. You've got what's called a get back coach. But mostly that get back coach is the get back coach in between plays, not during the play. So his excitement, meaning Parker Jones's excitement, you know, in that moment, he got caught up in the moment, was in the way of the official who ran into him, and thus the 15-yard penalty, which cost Georgia, I believe, a touchdown. And now you can look at any other points in the game. And it's one point in particular that I want to talk about in the game where I thought that, you know, that Georgia had a real opportunity to really pull to within maybe 7, perhaps 3, had it scored. So, look, Georgia had plenty of opportunities in this game. Like, that one single play wasn't the defining moment in the game, but it was part of the reason, and I believe, that Georgia lost the football game. I'm going to take you to a particular moment in the football game. Georgia moving the football a little bit, because the going was tough for Georgia in this football game. I thought Stockton had a solid game, particularly for his first time starting as a freshman in those circumstances. You're talking about playing in the quarterfinals for the national championship. That is a lot of pressure on a freshman quarterback. And not so much that he's a freshman quarterback, but he hadn't really played all year. So you're talking about a guy, you're putting him in that particular situation, and he hasn't really played all year. But there was a point in the ball game. You know, I got to take you back to this particular point in the ball game. There was about, I looked up at the clock, seemed like it was about, 3 minutes, maybe like 3 minutes left in the game. Georgia's moving the football, come up to a 3rd-and-3 situation. And instead of passing the football, which I just spoke with you about the fact that Stockton had 234 yards passing. He was in a bit of a groove. I think a shorter pass on a 3rd-and-3, some kind of outlet, he would have been able to complete that. I realized Notre Dame came with a lot of blitzes. Notre Dame made Stockton uncomfortable, but I think in that particular situation, you put in some extra protection or you run a quicker pass because all you need is 3 yards. Well, Georgia decided to run the football, which Georgia couldn't run the football, hadn't been able to run the football all night, only picks up 1 yard, brings up a 4th-and-2 situation. Georgia ends up getting a false start to make it a 4th-and-7. Then I believe it was Notre Dame that got like an offsides or something like that. And Georgia goes for it, unable to get it. This was like with about 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Georgia had a little bit of momentum. Remember, Georgia was down 20-3, had a little bit of momentum, scoring that touchdown to put it to within a 20-10 score, driving again, decided to run the football on 3rd and 3. I thought that was a big stop for Notre Dame. I thought it was a mistake for Georgia in that particular situation, because I think if you pass the football, you give yourself a better chance. Georgia wasn't able to run the football all night. Like, there was nowhere to run the football against this team. And look, I'm going to give Georgia a lot of credit from a defensive standpoint. I thought, and look, if you look at the numbers, okay, and I'm looking at them right now, Notre Dame rushed 454 yards. Give Notre Dame credit for being able to run the football 454, because Notre Dame only passed the football for 90 yards in this football game. Riley Leonard was efficient, only 90 yards passing. I forget he was looking 15 of 24, but didn't throw an interception, did have a touchdown, and that's what you want to see, the efficiency there, because you know, more or less, the Fighting Irish were having to take what the defense was giving them. So 154 yards rushing by Notre Dame in this football game. But Georgia's defense, I thought, all in all, and for the most part, was pretty solid in the football game. Think about it. The score, what's the score? It's 13-3 at halftime. You come out in the third quarter, Georgia takes it all the way back. The kickoff return for a touchdown, that was a momentum changer as well that made the score 20-3. But Georgia continued to fight, didn't have a whole lot offensively. I think a lot of that was because of the Notre Dame defense. The Notre Dame defense was extremely stingy. Yeah, there were some deep plays that Georgia had in this football game, thus the 234 yards passing. But Georgia, only able to rush for 62 yards in the game, could never establish the run, made it so that the Bulldogs had to throw the football. And I give Notre Dame all the credit in the world. By the way, a couple of big plays in this game. You remember the fourth down when Notre Dame showed punt and then all of a sudden took all of its players off the field, brought all of the offensive players on, and it was deep in their own end. I think Notre Dame had it at like the 19, had it at its own 19-yard line, okay? And Georgia substitutes as well. You have to allow for the substitution there. And Georgia still manages to get an offsides call. Hard count by Leonard. Offsides on Georgia gives Notre Dame the first down. The drive continues. That was a big play. I can't remember if it was a third down later in that same drive. I can't remember if it was third down or fourth down, but Leonard needed that. It was third down. Leonard needed that third down. He dives for it, gets the first down. So Notre Dame, when it needed big plays, especially in the run game, able to get it done, able to get the big plays. And Notre Dame goes on to the semifinal to take on Penn State. Penn State played a solid football game in the victory over Boise State. So that Notre Dame and Penn State game is going to be a good football game. And look, we've got good matchups across the board when you're looking at, you know, Texas. Texas probably should have lost that football game against Arizona State. Arizona State had, you know, really a couple of opportunities to try and pull that out, maybe pull what some would consider, you know, certainly an upset, but couldn't get it done. And now Texas and Ohio State are going to play in the other semifinal game. And Ohio State, boy, I tell you what, Ohio State looks really, really good. Blew out Oregon, made up for the loss against Michigan, just absolutely wiped Oregon off of the football field. So we've got some good matchups, ran a little bit over. I apologize. We were going to talk some National Football League, but My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Brandon Codrington for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on Box to Row, visit our website, boxtorow.com. Wishing you a prosperous 2025. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
Why they ain't give us a cure for AIDS? Why my diesel have fiends in the spot on the floor for days? Why you screaming like it's a...